from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24. Listen with me, for the word of the Lord spoken among us. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And then you are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father has promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. As we celebrate today this appreciation for our choir, I looked up a few words, and it's a little bit of a humorous reflection upon the top reasons for us to join the church choir. So some of us maybe reflect upon these today. The first reason is, for joining the church choir, is you're running out of clothes, clean clothes anyway, and you need the robe to hide your outfit. Now that wouldn't apply in the summer months, of course. The church is crowded when they cook chicken, and you don't have to worry about getting your favorite seat if you sit in the choir. You've been selected for jury duty, and you need an excuse to get you used to sitting with large crowds of people in intimate settings. Another good point is the collection plate never makes it to the choir. I don't know if that's good or not. Let's scratch that one. There's a clock in the back just over Joey's head up there, and you can keep monitor of how long the preacher's preaching. Pat, whether it's a one cough drop or two cough drop sermon, she monitors it on that. She starts clearing her throat. We have little cues here. When she's out of her cough throat drop, it's time for me to sit down. For years, you've wanted to sit in the back of the church, but were afraid. You wanted to know who was sitting in the back of the church, but you didn't want to turn around and look. So now if you're sitting back here, you can tell who's sitting in the back of the church. Here's a good reason to join the church choir. Every once in a while, you nod off during the sermon, and you don't want the minister to catch you sleeping. That's a good one there. These are humorous reflections upon a joy-filled event that we call worship. Worship is inspired by these who give of themselves. I think Bobby was alluding to earlier, as he celebrated their act of ministry and giving of themselves, that it is a blessing to us what our choir does. Wouldn't you say a blessing? I was inspired as I read the thank you note from Steve and Kelly this morning. And I know Kelly probably wrote that instead of Steve. Let's just get all that straight. But she used this word. If you'll reflect upon her words again, she said that our church family is a blessing to us. How about that? In our scripture today, our Lord reflects upon the power and majesty of that word blessing, and what it means as we consider it together, to be blessed as His children. Our scripture tells us that as He ascended into heaven, as our Lord's earthly ministry ended for Him being with the people in the flesh, the preparation was being made for the Holy Spirit to come and continue His ministry. We will celebrate the ongoing and lasting ministry of the Holy Spirit next Sunday as Dr. Charles Holland will fill the pulpit in my absence on what we know as Pentecost Sunday. Some call it the birthday of the church. For when the Holy Spirit gathered with the disciples in the upper room, the church's ministry began to do what Jesus did when He was in the flesh. And we're called, in the word of our scripture today, to embody and embrace the blessing of our Lord. Isn't it beautiful that our scripture says that just as our Lord was preparing to ascend into heaven, His last act with His friends for His followers were to raise His hands and offer His blessing upon them. Consider with me today, what does it mean to be blessed? If we look for the definition of the word bless in our dictionary, it will speak of oftentimes a holy act or a gift that we receive. I like that word gift. For truly, the essence of God's blessing to us is the gift of His relationship and being a part of our life. Isn't that beautiful? You see, being blessed, we know this as Christian people, right? Being blessed doesn't mean that things will always go our way, right? Being blessed doesn't mean that we will get every prayer answered when we want and how we want. Being blessed does not mean that we, dear church, will escape the whys of life. Being blessed means that whatever we face, whatever trial or tribulation that we endure in this broken world, that God will go through it with us. Being blessed is having His intimate love to sustain us, to comfort us, and to show us the joy that's found only in Him. Friends, that's the gift that our Lord left to us as He blessed His disciples. Have you ever thought that as we receive the last act of worship in our service, isn't it beautiful the way our service is structured? We begin in praise. We continue with confession. We pray for God's illumination. We hear His word. Then we respond in faith. And the last thing we do before we go forth, we follow this light of Christ out. And we go forth hearing God's blessing. His last communication to us is that I love you. You. Now go forth in my love and minister to the world around you. So there is a calling for us. Some call this Luke's version of the great commission that we receive today. And the commission that our Lord Jesus gives us here as recorded in Luke today is that we who are blessed be a blessing in return. Isn't it appropriate that Scripture even speaks of us blessing God? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. So how, dear church, may we ask together, let's wrestle with this. How in the world can we broken people bless our holy and perfect God? You see, I think we do in every way that we can the same thing God does for us. We love our Lord back. We bless the Lord by wanting to be intimate with the Lord just as He wants to be intimate with us. We spend time with our Lord. How do we do that? We go to worship. You see, worship, what we're sharing in this morning as a community of faith, is central to our faith, our relationship with our God, because this is the time that we set apart as sacred when we're intentional. We go to the house of worship and we say, Lord, thank you for the blessing of your love. Isn't that one way that we communicate intimacy and affection and being thankful? You know, I've heard people in business, and many of us relate to this, even at athletics coach, we understand that so much of our production as a society, whether we're working on a production plant at a Ford factory or running a school or an institution, we find this, that so much of our production is rooted in relationships, right? If they don't trust us, coach, they're not going to play for us. If our team at work doesn't believe we have their best interest, they're not going to work for us. Relationships are central to our life. And certainly, relationships are central to our faith. Our faith, our membership in the family of God is built upon His relationship to us, Him claiming us as His children. And friends, He is indeed one we can trust. So as our God blesses us, we seek to come and worship Him and express our love through thanksgiving. You know, I've heard leadership experts say that the two most important words in leadership are those, thank you. It's central to inspiring others. It's consistent with what our faith is built upon, glorifying our God and enjoying Him forever. I'm trying to check, see how long I've been going here, because I know that chicken's got to be getting close. So y'all forgive me. I didn't have my timer going this morning. Now I do. We'll just start over. Is that okay? So we bless God by worship. We come to this holy sanctuary and we say thank you. You know, here's an example. Think of Thanksgiving in a practical sense. The other day after a service Dad and I attended and Mom, he asked me, we were in Ripley, he said, will you go with me? Will you take me? Actually, we were in Faulkner. He said, will you take me, come and pick me up at Fair Ward Ford where I can drop my car off to get repaired. He had the right car, didn't he, Don? It was a Ford. So he dropped it off. And look, it was a busy day for me. You know, I had things to do. But you know, it took me about 2 seconds to answer his request. And my response was, yes, sir. Well, there's a couple of reasons why. I respect him. He's my father, and I love him. But also, he's taking me on a baseball trip later on this week. Now, I didn't want him to pull the plug on that thing. No, really. Really. The fact that he gives and cares for me, Norris, it's contagious. I want to give back what he's done for me, not to get my earthly father to love me, but because he does love me. So we come to this sacred setting, not, dear church, to get God to bless us, but because God has blessed us. We say thank you. We bless the Lord. You know another way we bless our Lord? As we live out His love for the world around us. We become a blessing to His people. You see, the blessings of our faith is really rooted in our loving relationship with God, and our God who said, if you love me, then you will care for my lambs, as he said to Peter. You will love the world around you. By this, they will know that you are my disciples. You see, that's our witness. That's our ministry. That's our blessing to the world around us. But there's something good. There's something great. There's something holy even in our feeble efforts to bless God, to worship Him and love Him, to bless the world around us by loving and caring for them, Joey, there is another fruit of that relationship. Did you hear it in our scripture? Our scripture ended today by saying this. As they worshiped Him. You see, that's where I'm coming at this from. That's how we bless God. We gather and worship. As they worshiped Him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Friends, let me ask you today, is there room for a little more joy in your life? Could you benefit from a little less peril and worry and brokenness? Could you be nurtured in a more full way by feeling God's joy more in your life? I know about you, just like I do me. We all cherish the joy of the Lord. I don't think it's a coincidence that our scripture tells us that as the disciples worship and express love to God, as they love the world around them, that the benefit of that holy act was that they knew more joy. Friends, that's our gift. When we walk in the ways of the Lord, there is more joy in this broken world. Isn't that what Jesus meant when He gave His final words of instruction in the Gospel of John as He preached to His disciples and He said, "This is my new commandment, that you love one another," right? And He said, "I've told you this." Why did He tell us? "So that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete." Friends, there is joy. When we bless the Lord, there is joy. When we count our blessings of our holy God. And friends, may we always remember, as people of Christ, no matter what we face, the peril, the losses, the struggles, that the truth of this scripture began by telling us we all have something to always be thankful for in Jesus Christ. For He came to this earth and said to us, "I came that I may suffer for your sins and raise victorious in life, so that in me all who trust and only believe may have life, love, and joy forever." Amen.